The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
Okay. So, mindfulness. Honestly, still trying to figure out what that is. And you could say our practice involves directing the attention in a kind of pointed way. I made a few comments to that effect, but also a kind of receptive awareness, and they're not identical. And so it involves exerting a kind of attentional autonomy. And I said, okay, you may preferentially select, breathing or body or something. It involves that, but also involves surrendering to what you do not own. And so it's a kind of dialectic of activity and receptivity. And sometimes the effort that we make is the effort of starting something. Often the effort is the effort of stopping, putting down. We're studying our attention. Where and how we place our attention has profound effects. It really, in some sense, births our sensory world. All things come about, come into being through attention. The sutta say, all things come into being through attention. And attention is considered a neutral factor, not inherently good or bad. It's how we use it that determines its value. And attention is considered a kind of spotlighting function, bringing something to mind, brightening it with attentional light, the breath, for example. And so we spotlight one phenomena or many in a kind of, choiceless awareness is a kind of sequential, spotlighting of particular phenomena typically. And as our attention develops, we have a very kind of rich, intimate processing of the object of attention. And generally, we say there's concentration when the spotlight becomes brighter and brighter and there's zero light escaping. There, whatever the object of attention is, the breathing is very vividly lit and everything else is in pitch black night. The scientific study of attention's often divided into three components: alerting, which is the kind of, is not directing it anywhere, but it's a kind of readiness or, receptivity, readiness for an impending stimulus. Suzuki Roshi called mindfulness soft readiness. Then there's secondly, orienting, the selection of a specific object from a range of stimuli. And then the third component, executive attention, where we're monitoring and resolving conflicts amongst thoughts and feelings and actions. And that's very involved in goal-directed behavior. And samadhi, concentration, involves a high state of readiness, precise orientation, and very robust executive attention functioning. And attention, I would say, is primarily object focused. And I realize as I'm saying this, I'm like trespassing on the ground of cognitive scientists and Buddhist scholars and philosophers of mind and a lot of stuff. And they would not approve. They would not, I know that they would not approve, but I gotta keep going, you know? So attention feels primarily object focused, and the Antoine Lutz and Meishi Jia and their colleagues says, when one is seeking to find a person in a crowd, off target objects, meaning like other persons, other people, do not present themselves phenomenally as strongly selected, but the state nevertheless seems to bear strongly on an object, namely the person sought. That captures something important about the kind of sense of the object orientation of attention. But mindfulness is not attention and mindfulness not synonymous. Mindfulness is broader, not simply about the focus on an object. Also, the kind of background could say, you know, the knowing epistemic context of one's object focused experience, the context of one's object focused experience. And if you get too focused on a kind of tight connection with the object, it tends to generate a lot of tension and clinging. That's what I was saying. Like, is it possible to lavish the object of attention with a kind of rich brightness without reiterating the craving? Often that's not the case. Often our attention is a kind of appendage of our wanting. And so the Buddha says we begin with right view, a mind infused with letting go, with tranquility, with equanimity. And so it's possible to be very object focused, but be animated by a lot of engineering and control and all the things we try to make happen, even meditative things. It's like the kind of often something. There's control is masquerading as curiosity. And the cue that we're trying to make something happen with our attention is where we're not relaxed. The kind of background contracts, the context of our knowing contracts. And relaxation is, we think of it as just like, oh, okay, I want to be relaxed, not hyper aroused, whatever. But you cannot cling without tension. And so relaxation runs deeper than mere kind of ease. It's about letting go. And awareness, we could say, is what that background context is what makes attention mindful. To be mindful means we're aware of how our attention is functioning. We're not merely attending, we're aware of how our attention is functioning. When we're just attentive, just trying to focus, we're not actually deeply aware of how our attention is functioning. We're aware of the object. And that's fine. That's fine. A lot of what we do does not call for mindfulness, I would say. We just trust the kind of information processing of our brain to do the job well. And so maybe we can say, and I'm just putting this together for myself, like maybe we can say that attention models the object, the breath, for example, and awareness models the object and the mind knowing it. So we can experiment with how we're relating to an object, the breathing or whatever it might be, how much we're just attempting to have pure fidelity to that versus how much we're also checking the background context, how the attention is functioning, what control is being exerted. And I would associate samadhi and concentration primarily with attention, primarily with the perception of anicca. And I would associate awareness in the background context with mindfulness and the perception of anatta. I'm saying too much for a dharmat. But it's too late. So, what we're observing is different from how we're observing. What we're observing is different from how we're observing. And meditation is sometimes called attention training. It's about training the attention, and learning how craving shapes the movements of the mind and the construction of the world and self. There's no one place to look for craving. There's subtlety that's needed. We can't just attend to one thing to see if there's craving. Mindfulness needs to be open to the kind of gravitational effects of craving. And we practice deeply allowing the arising of craving, of aversion. And to allow craving and aversion is not to acquiesce to them. The allowing takes the thorns out of the clinging. In other words, like clinging depends on doing it unconsciously. And when the awareness is there, the clinging becomes an object rather than a commandment. Awareness cannot cling. If it's clinging, it's not awareness. Attention can cling, seems to me. As soon as we begin clinging, the attention fixates an object, reifies it, differentiates. We begin strategizing. There's no strategy in awareness. In other words, a moment of mindfulness is, from one perspective, is very ordinary. From another perspective, is quite free. Quite free. Offer this for your consideration. Please pick up what's useful. Leave the rest behind. I put a link for questions. If you have questions to submit, maybe next week I'll try to respond to something that someone asked. So that's in the description in on YouTube. And yeah, I wish you all a good week, and it's been good to be with you. And see you next time.